okay, so I guess this whole thing is called family triage. It's May. Cubes of memory foam hug Jenny when she falls off the high beam, arriving by midday in Houston in a single, legible momentum. While my heart shakes, the car flips a few times, and I could have died while I was in the air but felt okay then, as the return ticket didn't specify what would be waiting at the heart of point A. You, missing, homesick in 2013, baby's first homopsychic splash in the blind spot of a blessed 12-year-old's nap time, producing June waves. Okay, I won't leave myself anywhere that isn't a seminar in the palm of your bedroom, sleeping to recuperate the subject, fast relapse on a different kind of drive, in which I still could have died but felt okay, so long as you know to bury me beneath the snow in California, and return me to the posture of objects and coarse topographical confusion between my obedient eros and passive consent. Since speech is a limited resource, and worse on behalf of what it isn't, a ghost in the listening kingdom sat chatting at the counter with a milkshake. While away now, your bed sulks, and all I can do is cry in line for the bathroom at Starbucks and continue to miss you while all I wanted was less and more. I'm just gonna get a glass of water before I go on for the rest of that. So that was the fast bit. The rest isn't like that. Neuter future. I put my life on the fridge of the chip clip, covering the corrugated skin of a much bigger face, or a fever too hot not to know we got it wrong. The red kebby backpedals regret into a belated amnio waiting room. I paint the nursery yellow to trick my own advanced knowledge. I return to the race once the ribbon breaks. The world lap stands up. Once you go back, you never go back. Perhaps we got it wrong. Perhaps the baby and the bathwater switched places while we were getting tucked into a comfier sensorium. Urgencies confer in a handshake, the face card lays down and wins the race. Whatever happens, I still love you in the soft court topic bedroom the time zones consensually remember, even now as panic reanimates from the whiplash of unlimited forecast. In ways, I don't need to rank anything, least of all my care. In other ways, my mom will always come first, since kids are the future, and that gift cannot be ungiven, even if I take it. A widow masturbates with a rough wicker urn, and I realize that fearing extinction is straighter than I am, a normative doorstop in reproduction's funhouse, as if the worst thing in the world were for it not to repeat. The future neuters is a gentle objection. I plan my family. Coherence mistakenly relies on the trick ribbon of originary presence and its reproduction beyond the subject it delivers. Maybe that's the meaning of time to relax. You get less endless and something else endures. I get on the couch with no intention to be legible. Wally's Adamic meet cute with Eve. A video labeled Talking Cat features a tabby making noises that approximate English, and I find it enormously cute. A white lily mocks other white lilies for mocking botanicentrism and becomes the garden of his own local attention. Why do the robots and Wally flirt like we do? Where do I draw the limits of my concern for other lives? Bugs, bacteria, parasites, the Giardia in my tummy. It does have a smiley face, which endears me more endlessly toward it, but it fucks with my guts, so no, exterminate it. How about the bed bugs infesting my domestic space and threatening the interior's precarious distinction from outdoors? No, out with them too, since home is where my tenderly delimited human heart lives. Nothing that contaminates the categories maintaining the difference from which my life begins. But as soon as I begin, I want to keep going, diminishing conditions of life for the remainder that isn't me. The violence of priority claimed by our species reproduces within us. We learn this from ourselves, so what now? Relapse. I don't or can't feel much of what I'm saying, since there's no face or heart or lungs. A jellyfish to Oz in a hermetic meme coat tweets angled toward heartbreak in conditions of increasing heat. If I've spent months on this problem, I've ended every day with a call to my mom and an episode of familiar TV. I think I'd pick my own intimacies any day over the prosopagnosic nightmare of thinking the world without us, since the foregone conclusion of a fever not merely dreamed incentivizes more joy in the meantime. I love you more than I can worry about future generations hungry for whatever I ate too quickly. I love my kids more than I can care about their lives. Too fast to attach to the future, Tokyo Drift. What does the proper name do but glorify auto-mnemonics? Capitalism isn't the origin of error, but a symptom of something more basic. Should I binge on the world to the best of my ability, hoarding into the cubby of my life? Is the will to live 69ing with the death drive? Am I actually hungry for more? I'm not sure I can or want to answer, but I will say this. At all times, every drive is rolling up to the center of an intersection at full speed as if certain to collide, but never does. On replay, or at least with some effort, you can see each drive rolling down its window and exchanging a few words we can't make out, like Bill and Scarlett in Shinjuku. They always nearly crash and always already happen, and in the irreducible space between the driver's side of each drive is a desire with a speed of neither. The world is gone. I must carry Mathis and myself into your lap. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I understand that certain things will kill you very quickly, and that event is called death. While other lives are denied all their lives, and that slow death is still called living. On the same side of the same coin, I realize that identifying the enemy is an obstacle to understanding my own complicity. But then the light dims and your head cranes, and I have every reason to forget that. I want to say that the face is a farce, but I still love yours too much to believe it. I could fucking live there. I really could. In the final episode of Homeland, Carrie and Quinn can't choose between the other's lap or the world, since you can't see the world with your head in someone else's lap, and your lap is just legs without someone else's head in it. Turn down for what? Maybe it really is time to relax, since the post very often means ultra, and we could document human error forever. Each call for disinscription reinscribes. I worry you'll miss me when I'm gone, so I scratch my life into the surface of the earth and leave the heat as my personal mnemonic. Writing might always feed the addiction to data, so might having kids. How about this? No more credit for the first best diagnosis, just dead-end sex and wild diagnostics. If the world ends tomorrow, please know there was so much I was too afraid to lose, and bury me beneath the snow in California. I don't know if the world is gone, but if it is, I am already carrying you. I watched Force Majeure on a lap with my parents. The avalanche is Benicula, and gas is such a terrifying state. A tricked-out childhood antonym of the nebulizer in my bedroom on repeat. I get on the sofa, not the psychodynamic melon toss of a trillion hot pink halos collapsing on the beanbag of my heart, but you, specifically you, in total open access. The centerfold cannot hold. I bite my cup and run both hands across the froth of... The holistic lips at the porn awards. Every angelic future tunes into the solutions embraced on the rightful froth of your licit Costco screen. The class ghost goes to bed. My sovereign hand approaches the table and then slows to pull your hand behind your ear. Claudia Salerno mixes cream into the mashed potatoes, and I politely decline to eat tonight. The accidental protest isn't my daughter, but the peak inventory of everything I could have said was coming. I lay down with you instead. It's not fetishist disavowal. It's more violent and infinitely better. It's my choice. To you, specifically you, I say don't worry. You can find me wearing the baby Bjorn, and you can find yourself inside it. When the world is gone, I will already be carrying you. It's my choice. The problem of starting began with the fantasy of stopping, as if we could ever hold a timeline that could hold us. I lay down in the deck and wonder why the snow collected just to force itself back into the cinema of my closeted attention. In ways I did this, in other ways I can't be so proud. It's snowing on my face. No more arms, just a loving tentacular conclusion before its normative proof. The point is not to choose what to carry, but to figure out how we let us get here, or simply accept the bed as we made it. I don't run anywhere. As soon as I fear what's next, I realize that the world is not a race to repeat itself, and the Anna prepositionally inclines us toward the benefit of nothing first. I bite my cup. The world holds me without me. What more could I want? Thanks.